I slipped a white hand between the heavy velvet drapes. Is it here, Nora? No, I murmured. The girl standing behind me released a huff of air and tugged impatiently at her cuffs. You're so lucky to have your own carriage. Public transport wears on my nerves. If it's late, you start to suspect that you missed it. And if it's early, you have missed it. Then why are you panicking? You're not taking public transport. You're coming home with me. Because we've been here for almost an hour. You know me. I grow anxious whenever I have to wait, whatever I'm waiting for. Remember that time our final grades were delayed for a day due to a computer mishap? God, I thought I was going to die. I lent only half an ear to Pamela's nervous chattering, my gaze drifting back to the yard outside. The wrought iron gates of St. Cyprian's School for Girls were flung wide, and a steady stream of electric carriages poured in through them, sleeker and curvier than those of the first Victorians, and designed with room for a driver within. Those belonging to the upper crust of the school were crafted of elegantly molded alloy metal, done up in inky purple or mahogany brown, and shining like glass. A few of the richest girls had their own carriages, and these were pearly white to indicate the largely imagined innocence and purity of their passengers. The carriage that would come for me would not be white, so I felt compelled to add, "And it isn't mine, Pama. It belongs to my aunt." "I know." Pamela Rowe, my best friend since childhood, stepped in front of me and resumed sitting atop her steamer trunk. She was of Indian heritage and average looks, with black, sweet eyes and long hair the color of chocolate. "We could carry the trunks down to the yard," I offered. It was the last day of the term, and the halls of the school were noisier than usual. Everyone was heading home for the holidays. A sea of trunks and swirling skirts churned just outside the alcove where Pam and I had squeezed ourselves and our things. The window there afforded a good view of the crowded courtyard below. "We'd end up crushing ourselves." Pamela cut her eyes to the hall. "Being crushed is very unladylike. I'd rather wait for a porter." "We'll be here an age, then. Better get used to it." Every hired porter I'd managed to track down that day had already been occupied, already dedicated to fulfilling the whims of one or more of the upper-class girls. St. Cyprian's was one of the most prestigious private schools in the territories, a formidable building set on a few acres of manicured land. It was done in the mid-Victorian style, all real stone and wood, and a city's population of statues and gargoyles. No plastic, no holographic projectors. During my years there, I'd often had occasion to feel like I was forever fated to stand, alone and motionless, in the midst of the school's daily dance. And today the feeling was magnified. Pamela and I were left perched atop our belongings in our relatively plain frocks, as bright young things and servants rushed about us. Their belongings were more important than ours, their destinations more glamorous. Pam fell silent, leaning against the hallway's dark wooden paneling. I occupied myself by drawing a pearly stylus over the screen of the digital diary in my lap. I was working on my final paper for history, my shoulders hunched up as I wrote, a habit my mother never could hammer out of me. "Nora, dearly," I jotted atop the page, "December 17th, 2195, assignment number 14, early New Victorian history.